Great job. Stand with me this morning as I read the scripture. Romans chapter 12. I'm going to read two verses this morning. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Father, we thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, today that our ears will hear. That our lives will be changed. Father, today I pray and I thank you for your presence here. I pray that in everything we do in this place, your name would be lifted high. That each one of us would be drawn closer to you. And that we would leave this place rejoicing over who you are and what you're doing in our lives. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. I introduced the idea last week, and we talked on Wednesday night about a vision statement, transforming our community one heart at a time. Today, the sermon is going to be on spiritual transformation. So there are some things that we need to understand. We need to understand definitions. And by the way, transforming our community, we have the word community there. It has a twofold meaning. The first is the church. The church has to be transformed one heart at a time before we can do anything outside the walls. And so, we have to understand, and I have to understand, that process of transforming a community begins with me. And each one of us has to understand that same thing, that any kind of transformation that takes place in the church and in the community has to start with us. Some definitions. I'm grateful for dictionaries, aren't you? You ever use dictionaries? Anybody in here ever use a dictionary? Ooh, there's a lack of education in here somewhere. Transformation. It's a change of heart in man or woman or child by which his disposition and temper are conformed to the divine image. A change of heart in which our disposition is changed to the image of God. It's a change from enmity. Enmity is enemy to holiness and love. Spiritual refers to our soul. Our soul consists of our mind, our will, and our emotions. And those things are transformed and continually being conformed to the image of His Son. Spiritual transformation is the changing of our soul, a change of heart that conforms us to the divine image. It changes us from being an enemy of God for believers and for believers from spiritual malaise to being increasingly more like Christ. Sometimes we get comfortable in our relationship with God. And if we're going to be transformed, we have to move past that. Spiritual transformation can also be used with the term sanctification, the continual growth of our spiritual character. Simply put, spiritual transformation is the process by which we become more like Christ. Very simple definition. And so the question for all of us is this morning, are we interested? Are we interested in being spiritually transformed, or are we comfortable with where we are? The sad part of that is sometimes we're comfortable with where we are. We don't want to be stretched. And if there's going to be genuine spiritual transformation in our lives, we have to get away from where we are. We have to grow. We have to get outside our comfort zone and become more like Christ. Becoming more like Christ is going to mean we're going to have to sacrifice some things. We're going to have to put some things away. We're going to have to begin to focus and concentrate on things that we have not been focused and concentrating on. Although I read this week of a kind of transformation. And I was hoping Wally would and Belinda, most especially Belinda, would be in here because this speaks specifically to her state. And I didn't just add this, it came in up with the illustration. I read this week of a kind of transformation. A man from back in the mountains of Tennessee found himself one day in a large city for the first time standing outside an elevator. He watched as an old, haggard woman hobbled on to the elevator. And the doors closed. A few minutes later, the doors opened and a young, attractive woman marched smartly off the elevator. The father hollered to his son, "Billy, go get your mother." We're not talking about that kind of a transformation this morning. But we do need to talk about perceived transformation versus genuine transformation. Perceived, you can fool yourself into thinking you're someplace where you aren't. Genuine transformation takes work and energy and time and effort and a reliance completely on God. Here are a couple of verses. We'll get to that Romans 2 in a minute, 12 rather. Psalm 51 verse 10 says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." Create in me a clean heart, O God. That means in spiritual transformation, there must be repentance. You can't keep doing the same old thing all the same old time and be transformed by the Holy Spirit of God. It is absolutely impossible. So the question again comes, are we interested? Do we really care? Do we want to become more like Christ? Do we want to be transformed? Here's the absolute truth. If we are not transformed, the church will never be transformed. And if we're not transformed and the church is never transformed, the church will die. It's as simple as that. We need to be moving in God's direction. We need to be transformed. The church needs to be transformed. We need it. The community needs it for us to be changed into the image, to conform to the image of His Son. In Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 31, it says, "Cast away from you all the transgressions that you have committed, and make yourselves a new heart and a new spirit." It talks about repentance, confession, and conformance, commitment. The problem with the church sometimes, the problem with me, the problem with us as individuals, is we don't want to repent. Maybe we don't see the need to repent. But when we don't want to repent, we continue to live in sin. And the sin doesn't get any less. If we continue to live in sin, that sin will continue to grow and we'll find ourselves moving further and further away from God. We need spiritual transformation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." If anyone is in Christ, he is what? A new creation. Old things have passed away, new things have come. So I guess the question is for us, have the old things really passed away? Are we still living the same life that we lived before we professed Christ? Are we kind of teetering in the middle? You know, one foot in the world, one foot in the church. One foot wanting to do whatever we want to do, part of us wanting to be obedient. You can't be that way. You can't live your life that way and be spiritually transformed. In the book of Ephesians, go ahead and turn there. Ephesians chapter 4. I'll start reading in verse 19. "They," talking about the Gentiles, "have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ. Assuming that you have heard about Him and were taught in Him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." The only way that can happen is through the work of the Holy Spirit. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to work in us to change us. The picture here is literally of taking off the old clothes, taking off the rags, and putting on the new clothes, the righteousness of God. That is transformation, becoming more like Him, doing away with the old, putting on the new. Are we really concerned about that? Is it possible? Well, it is possible. But if I ask you individually or you ask me, why do churches become stagnant? Or why do believers become stagnant? What would you say? I know what I would say. I would say because I've become stagnant in my own relationship with God. That I've refused willingly to go where He wants me to go. To do those things He wants me to do. That I've become more concerned with Tom than I have with God's church. Or with God. Or with Tom's responsibility to grow in the Lord. We can become extremely casual in our relationship with God. But the only way for us to move away from that is spiritual transformation. And the only way that spiritual transformation comes is by reliance on the Holy Spirit. We need a reawakening in our lives, in this church, in our community, in this country, of the work of the Holy Spirit of God. We need to undergo in this country what Richard Whitfield and others went through, the first great awakening and the second great awakening in this country, where this country turned their hearts back to God. We are in desperate need in this country. We are in desperate need of the church, listen carefully, of the church turning back to God. I can't expect society to do something that they don't know anything about. You can't play the game if you don't know the rules. But the church has to repent. The church has to undergo spiritual transformation. And if we don't, it's only going to get worse. By the way, the question boils down to, do we love God or not? Do we love God or not? How are we supposed to love Him? With everything that's in us, do we? Because if we did, spiritual transformation would be an ongoing process in our lives. One definition of spiritual transformation is this: the process by which God forms Christ's character in believers by the ministry of the Spirit. The process by which God forms Christ's character in believers by the ministry of the Spirit in the context of community and in accordance with biblical standards. This process involves the transformation of the whole person in thought, behavior, and styles of relating with God and others. It results in a life of service and witness for Christ. Spiritual transformation leads to serving God. Spiritual transformation leads to serving others. Spiritual transformation leads to sharing with others the gospel of Jesus Christ. The ultimate end of spiritual transformation is God's glory. It's not what's in it for us. It's about what we need to become in Him. Simply put, I guess, as simple as I can, it's Romans 8:29 being worked out in us. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's God's goal for every believer. I've said that once. I've said it 10 times, 20 times. I'm going to continue to say it because God's goal for every believer, for everyone who professes the name of Christ, is to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. We are to become more like Him. Doesn't that sound like some kind of transformation? Doesn't that sound like a spiritual transformation? Becoming more like Him on a daily basis. I don't get that right. But we can. I don't get that right all the time. But I'm reminded of this: for those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son. You know, you can put your name in that verse, Jerry, or Catherine, or Mark. We can put our names in that verse because God wants Tom to be conformed to the image of His Son. What would happen? What would happen if we would allow God to conform every one of us in this room into the image of His Son? What would happen? Can you imagine the fire that would start? The flames that would burst? The joy that would fill this place? Can you imagine those things? Sooner or later, we could look around and there'd be more of us because people would come to watch us burn. People would see us being excited about who we are. You know, sometimes I think there are Tigger Christians and I think there are Eeyore Christians. And I think sometimes there are more Eeyore Christians than there are Tigger Christians. You know the Eeyore guy? Oh, dear. Oh, my. You know, don't you? Have you ever seen those kind of Christians? That's the way they live their lives. Oh, man, I can't believe this is happening to me. Oh, dear. And then you got Tigger, on the other hand, which is way out of control. The wonderful thing about Tiggers are wonderful things. You know, there has to be somewhere in the middle, there has to be, we're moving forward with Christ. Onward, Christian soldiers. I'd rather be a Tigger than an Eeyore, though. I think Tiggers attract more people than Eeyores do. I think Eeyores can turn people off. I want to be a Tigger for Christ. Does that make sense? I don't know where that came from. But simply put, spiritual transformation is Romans 8:29 being worked out in us. For those whom he foreknew, every believer is there. He also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. Let me just give you a few things. And one, the core of spiritual transformation. Right? The core of spiritual transformation is this first one. Christ formed in us for his glory. That has to be first. Christ formed in us for his glory. 2 Corinthians 3:18, Wally said, I was talking about spiritual transformation on Wednesday night. Wally said, are you in 2 Corinthians? I said, I am and I will be. Didn't I tell you that, Wally? Here it is. 2 Corinthians 3:18, and we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. For we, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed, each one of us, from one degree of glory to another. There are steps. There are degrees. I want to get off 32 degrees Fahrenheit. How about you? I want to get away from 32 degrees Fahrenheit. And I don't care if I get up to 212 degrees Fahrenheit. Y'all know what 212 degrees is, don't you? It's boiling. Wouldn't it be better than to be frozen to be boiling? Wouldn't you prefer to be on fire for Christ than to be frozen? You know, do you want to belong to the church of the frozen chosen, or do you want to be belong to the church on fire for God? By the way, wow, that's another thing. Paul writes in Galatians 4:19, my little children, for whom I am again in the anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. When's the last time you and I prayed for someone, that we anguished over someone until Christ was being formed and was completely formed in them? Shouldn't that be what we are? Shouldn't that be what we do? We pray for others as we watch Christ being conformed in them. How can we expect others to be where we won't help them go? We lead from in front. We don't push from behind. We help people grow into the image of God as God has others helping us grow into the image of God. Christ formed in us for his glory. That's the first part of spiritual transformation. The second is this. What did I say? Did I miss it up? I missed what? Okay. Tell Tigger and Eeyore to go home for now. We'll get back to this. So anyway. Renewing the mind. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. I want to share with you this passage from the Message. Every once in a while, I like to look at different things. Romans 12:2. By the way, the Message is Eugene Peterson's paraphrase of the Scripture. Eugene Peterson is a Greek and Hebrew scholar. And he wrote the Message to help his congregation understand the Scriptures a little better. So here's Romans 12:2 from the Message. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. I just want to read that again, because this seems to describe us sometimes. You know, being Christian is all about worldview, isn't it? We can have a biblical worldview, which is looking at the world through the lens of Scripture, or we can have a secular worldview, which is looking at life through the way of the lost, the unredeemed. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Are we more like the culture, or is the culture becoming more like us? Listen, Christians, are we becoming more like the culture, or is the culture becoming more like us? That's the question we have to answer. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. That's transformation, isn't it? That's spiritual transformation. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly responds to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. I read that, and it kind of changed. It didn't change. It kind of illuminated things better for me. Because there are times when I'm tempted to be more like the culture. There are times when I see more of the world in me than I want to see. And I think that's probably true for all of us. But the idea is, don't be conformed. Don't think about it. Don't go there. We can move away from the culture as we move toward God, can't we? Spiritual transformation will lead us away from this worldview into a biblical worldview, seeing things through the lenses of Scripture. Renewing the mind goes way, way past an intellectual knowing. Renewal of the mind is a clear understanding about the nature of the Christian life. That word in verse 2 says, transform, be not conformed, but be transformed. I don't know much Greek, Wally. I don't. But here's the deal. The word used in to be transformed here is the Greek word from which we get the word metamorphosis. How many of you from basic science understand what metamorphosis is? We learned this in grade school or middle school or something. We understand it, right? It's that process by where we see that caterpillar crawl into that cocoon, that dark, limited cocoon, and come out later like a beautiful butterfly. That's metamorphosis. We are transformed basically from dark to light. We go into that cocoon spiritually, in spiritual trouble, and we emerge in the image of Christ. And that's what God wants to do with us. That's how God wants to spiritually transform our lives. The problem is sometimes we want to stay caterpillars. We're not willing to do what it takes to emerge from that cocoon as a butterfly. Sometimes we get content in our sin. Sometimes we don't want to change. Sometimes we're not willing to repent. Sometimes we're not willing to pay the cost that's necessary to get out of that cocoon and into the butterfly that God wants to make us. It is a complete changing of who we are. Spiritual transformation, Christ being formed in us, renewing of our mind, and here, the work of the Spirit. This is the last one, the work of the Spirit. The work of transformation can only be accomplished in us by the working of the Holy Spirit. Only. Just kind of an example of that, turn with me to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. You would think I've figured this stuff out. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the desires of the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Here's our cocoon. Sexual immoralities, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like this. And we may not fit all of those, but in my life I see some of those. And if we're really honest and look in God's mirror, in our lives we see some of those. You know, too often there's division in the church. Too often there's dissension. Too often there's jealousy. Too often there are fits of anger. We are there. Carnal Christianity. We need to get into the cocoon and do this. Paul says, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, now we're coming out of the cocoon, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. And when those happen in a church, we might as well call ourselves the church of the first cocoon. It's just a thought. Those things ought not to exist. That's why when I see those things in my life, I need spiritual transformation. I need to be changed from who I am to what God wants me to be. I need to be changed from what I was into what I can and will be. That is spiritual transformation. And each one of us in this room needs it. We need to grow in Christ. We can use spiritual transformation as a term for sanctification, which is that process by which we grow up in Christ, the process by which we are more conformed to the image of His Son. There is an amazing example of transformation in the Scripture. Deb kind of reminded me of that this week when I was talking about spiritual transformation. Just for fun, turn to Acts chapter 9. But Saul. You remember Saul from chapter 8? Saul's the one who held the coats while the stoning of Stephen took place. Saul was the one who consented. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him, and falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. You can read the rest of that story on your own, but here's what happened. Saul, a Jew, hated Gentiles, hated Christians, would do anything to persecute Christians because he thought they were wacko. They weren't Jews. They weren't involved with obeying the law. But on his way to Damascus, what happened? God showed up. And his life was instantly transformed. I find this to be absolutely amazing. Saul's a Jew, right? Hated Gentiles. And yet God changed Saul to Paul and made Paul a missionary to the Gentiles. Is that transformation? That's an incredible transformation. A Jew who hates Gentiles becoming one who goes to Gentiles to tell them about Jesus. That's the kind of transformation we need to see in our lives. We need spiritual transformation. Now, I ran into this quote this week from Thomas A. Kempis. Here's what he said. Be angry that you cannot make others as you want them to be, since you cannot make yourself as you wish to be. Be angry that you cannot make others as you want them to be, since you cannot make yourself as you wish to be. He's exactly right. We can't make ourselves as we wish to be. We get angry with others because they're not who we think they ought to be, because of a lack of spirituality in our own lives, because of a lack of our being willing to be spiritually transformed. Because we can't do it, but God can do it in us and through us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And the question is, are we willing? If God is going to do anything in my life or in your life or in the life of this church or in the United States of America, we have to undergo spiritual transformation. There is nothing else we can do. I'm thinking this is pretty serious. What do you think? Without spiritual transformation, I die spiritually. Without spiritual transformation, you die spiritually. Without spiritual transformation, this church dies. We need to beg God for spiritual transformation in our lives. We need to pray that God will bring spiritual transformation to other people's lives. And we need to beg God that as we are spiritually transformed one person at a time, that this church will be spiritually transformed and we can move and follow God. Transforming, changing our community one heart at a time, beginning with me. Beginning with me. Transforming our community, our church, one heart at a time, beginning with me. Transforming our community, those who are outside this wall, these walls, one heart at a time, beginning with me. That's what I think God wants for us. That's what I think God's vision is for us as a church. For me individually, and the same for you. I want God to transform my heart. Do you? That old song, "Change my heart, O God. Make it ever new." Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. That needs to be our prayer. Change my heart. Not Gene's. Not Yuki's. Change my heart. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for how you speak to us. And Lord, today, through the power of the Holy Spirit, I pray, Lord, that you will move us in your direction. Father, I pray that we'll allow the Holy Spirit to work in and through our lives, that spiritual transformation will begin with me, will begin with each one of us, will spread through the congregation, will spread to the church, and will spread to our community, transforming our community one heart at a time, beginning with me. May that be our cry together. Lord, as we enter into this time of celebration, may we remember what Christ did for us. May we remember his birth and his life, his death, his resurrection, and his coming again. And through all those things, may we be reminded of all those things you are doing in our lives. All those things you have done and all those things you will continue to do. And Lord, we will thank you and praise you because of who you are, not because of who we are, for the things that you've done, not because of what we've done. We bring our lives to you, Father, and we lay them at your altar. We give you everything we are. Begin a work in us. Begin a work in me. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.